Do not forget that, for you will have need to use that simple knowledge, all of you, by and by. Some spirits are fortunate, but very few are, in being resurrected in memory, concerning a past existence, by external circumstances. A Pythagoras would tell you, did he speak with you, that he remembers. Three distinct earthly lives. Mark me, three distinct earthly lives he remembers clearly. Not all their circumstances, to be sure, but enough to show that they are three distinct earthly lives. He has been fortunate in having external circumstances to call up, to resurrect this past memory, that belongs to the past, that slumbers with thousands of souls, because there is no morning peal of the present, no chime that might call up the past. Now, let me illustrate, to make my position more simple. Suppose, for instance, a friend of your childhood might come into this room, either a disembodied spirit, or one in the body, and should address you by name. You look into his face and say, "Ayo, do not know you." "You do not?" "No." "Do you remember," he says, "such a person that you used to play with in your boyhood days, who lived in such a place, occupied such a position in life?" You think a minute. The external words of the man are called up to your memory from the past. You say, "Oh, yes, I remember it. Oh, yes, now I know you," and you go over and over your boyhood days with him. All the green fields are present in your memory, all your little boyish acts are called up and lived over again. You know the man for an absolute certainty. It is precisely the same with regard to a past existence. Thousands and tens of thousands of souls are waiting for some resurrecting circumstance, that they may remember, that they may see, that they may live again, in thought, in the past, and know that they have lived there. Do you understand? Yes, by Theodore Parker, December 28, 1868. Question. Is spiritualism, as a religion, to supplant Christianity? This was at page 262. Answer. Spiritualism, as a religion, I believe, is to supplant Christianity. The era of the Christian religion is passing away, changing. It will lose nothing of its life, nothing of that the world of mind has need of, but it will part with its dross, and become absorbed in the newer and more perfect. Question. Have you ever seen a person, while inhabiting the body, in spirit life? Answer. Yes, very many times, times without number. Question. Are there any spirits of the present day that have seen Christ? Answer. Yes, I have seen him myself. Question. What is his mission in the world? Answer. A mission of love, as it was when here, a moral teacher. Question. Does he profess to be one with God? Answer. Yes, he professes to be one with God, but as I profess to be one with God, in no different sense. Not according to the Christian idea of his oneness with God. Oh, no, by no means. Question. Does this same Christ visit the earth as other spirits do, for the purpose of inaugurating this new dispensation? Answer. Yes, he is in the work, and he does visit the earth. Question. Has he visited Boston, to your knowledge? Answer. Yes, many thousand times. Question. Will you not invite him to speak to us here at this circle? Answer. No, certainly not. He needs no invitation. He comes unbidden, and partakes of the feast of wisdom prepared by every individual soul, does not need any special invitation to be your guest. Question. Does the spirit, while inhabiting the physical body, ever manifest like one that has laid off the form? Answer. Yes, that is quite a common occurrence. Question. Then we are living in both worlds? Answer. You are. The senses of the body take cognizance of the things of this world, the objective and material life. The senses of the spirit take cognizance of both worlds, live in the inner life, and understand what is being done in the external life. By Theodore Parker, December 29, 1868. Question. Is the individualized human spirit a result of acting natural and spiritual forces incident to the human physical form, and in and through the same elaborated, unitized, affinitized, and perfected to an individual conscious existence, beyond the reach of decomposition and decay? Or is the human physical form a result of a pre-existent spirit entity which descends into the germ of being, allying itself with earliest infancy or life, and which unfolds and develops its stature to maturity, lingers with it till death, then returns to the God who gave it? Answer. I believe that the spirit claims a life anterior to the body. I do not believe that the spirit is an outgrowth of the body. On the contrary, I believe that the body is an outgrowth of the spirit. The spirit is distinct, and comes up through an infinite number of degrees of material life. It passes through the different degrees, and manifests itself according to the degree in which it lives. Human life manifests as human life, vegetable life as vegetable life as mineral life, and so on through an almost infinite number of degrees. I believe it is one great spirit, after all, one infinite ocean of life, acting through all forms, and manifesting according to the nature of the form in which it exists. This was at page 264. Question. It is your opinion that the spirit has power to choose the form through which it shall manifest? Answer. I do not so think. Indeed, all past experiences prove to the contrary. Question. Then there is a law still surrounding the spirit which causes it to take the form through which it manifests. Answer. The spirit, as a whole, is a law unto itself. But each one of the individualized particles composing the great spirit, is amenable to the law of all the rest. It can go so far, but no farther. Question. Will each individual soul come to a knowledge of a prior existence, as did Pythagoras? Answer. There are thousands, millions of souls in the spirit world who have no knowledge of having had an existence prior to the one they passed through in earthly life. These seem to be the rule, but there seem to be very many exceptions to the rule. I am not prepared to say, for I have formed no definite opinion upon the subject, whether all souls will finally become possessed of this knowledge or remembrance of a former life. I believe, I know, that there are circumstances which, if they act upon the soul, will call up that memory, but whether they will ever act or no, I cannot say. Question. I learn by experience that a certain class of spirits return and communicate often directly after they have left the form, but soon cease to come, and do not again manifest their presence for months or years. Please explain why this is so. Answer. In all probability they are so far absorbed in the scenes of their new life that they have not a sufficient leisure to return to enable them to overcome the obstacles in the way. There must be a straightforward, positive will on the part of the returning spirit who would be successful. Question. How do spirits employ their time in the spirit world? Answer. There are an infinite number of ways by which the spirits employ their time, or are occupied in the spirit world. They who are artists, because they have a love in that direction, employ their time in that way. The mechanic, for we have mechanics in the spirit world, who is such from the love of it, pursues the same avocation in the spirit world. Each one pursues the course that is best adapted to him, but none are forced into the pursuance of any course. There is no compulsion in these things in the spirit world. Each one acts in accordance with his wishes. There is no poverty to interfere here. There are no railroads demanding a fee for transportation, there are no hotels charging exorbitant prices, no dealers to fee, nothing of the sort, but each one pursues the avocation which he is best adapted to, and for the love of it. There are no drones in the spirit world. All are active. Question. How do mechanics exercise their powers? Have they building material with which to work? Answer. You forget that these buildings which you inhabit are in the spirit world, every one of them. They have an inner as well as an external life. Every one of these works of art has a soul, and the external appearance of that soul has need of an external architect, somebody to fashion it, somebody to take care of it, somebody to embellish it. Can you do it? No. You can perform that part which belongs to material life, but no more. You overlook the soul of things in your march through the body. It is quite natural. I did the same while here. By Theodore Parker, January 4, 1869. Chairman. A week ago last Wednesday I left here, at 3 o'clock p.m., to visit a child who was very sick in Newark, N.J., and arrived there at 1 o'clock the next morning. My wife, who was here at home, said that at 3 o'clock of the same morning she saw me at her bedside so distinctly that she spoke to me, asking, "Ayo, how is it that you are here? I thought you were in New Jersey." I was at that time standing by the bedside of the child in Newark. I would like to ask if it was my spirit proper, or whether it was my thought of her that took this visible shape. Answer. You seem to forget that your thought is, in fact, your spirit, nothing more, nothing less. And you also seem to forget that the spirit has power to overcome time and space. It occupies no sensible time, not according to human senses, in passing from one point to another. It can travel faster than light. It is here, and instantly it is there. A spirit dwelling in the body obeys, to a certain extent, the physical laws pertaining to the body, and, to a very large extent, it is free even then. It goes whithersoever it will. It traverses the universe and other universes. It holds communion with the inhabitants of the most distant star, and as perfectly, as a spirit, as it can hold communion with its fellows here. Now, then, this being true, it would not be at all strange, nothing out of the natural course, to suppose that your spirit did indeed visit your earthly home, and in such a tangible way as to be recognized by the senses of your companion. I say it would not be strange, and, from your statement, I am inclined to think that this is the case. Had I been present, I should have known to a positive certainty. This was at page 267. As it is, I can only form an opinion from what I have known of other similar cases. Chairman. My wife said that she was, at the time, perfectly wide awake, and recognized me just as clearly as she ever did in her life. I remember of thinking of her several times, but had no idea of reaching her in any tangible way. Answer. I have been informed that you are specially gifted in this respect, that you have the gift of retiring from the body, leaving that in one locality, and making yourself spiritually apparent, thoroughly recognized, at another place. Chairman. This is not the only instance of the kind. My spirit has been recognized by others in distant places, but I never knew it to come so near home before. Question. Are we to understand that the spirit is absent from the body while at some distant place, or that there is a double consciousness, the same spirit occupying two places at the same time? Answer. All spirits have the power to project themselves into external life, and become recognized by the external consciousness, to a certain extent. You are indeed possessed, under all circumstances, of a double consciousness, that which is present with the external form, and that which is absent by virtue of the action of the distant law. For instance, you may have a friend in London, while you in physical form are in Boston. You think of the friend in London. He thinks of you at the same time. There is a direct vehicle over which the spirit passes, communicates, but at the same time it is conscious within the physical life in Boston. There is a consciousness which belongs especially to the physical human life, is governed by that life, can express itself in no other way than through that life. Then there is a consciousness that belongs to the spirit body, and it can express itself at any distant point, wherever it chooses, however far distant from the physical body, at any time when the attraction is sufficient to cause it to leave the body, these indwelling spirits elude human senses. The scalpel cannot detect the spirit. It is beyond it. It cannot be weighed and measured by your human senses, and yet it acts upon those human senses as best pleases itself. We have always told you that you were living, here in this world, three distinct lives, the life which belongs to the animal world, that which belongs to the spiritual world, and that which belongs to the higher, the soul or divine life, three in one. There is a great truth underlying the doctrine of the Trinity which is yet to be revealed. Question. Does any change of temperature occur in the spirit world? Answer. Yes, there is an infinite number of degrees of change, all the various gradations that are necessary to spirit life. Question. Extreme cold and extreme heat, with all the gradations? Answer. Not such cold or heat as you experience here, but that which is equivalent to it. Question. Are those living there made uncomfortable by these changes? Answer. No, not necessarily, because the spirit has the power more perfectly than here to adapt itself to conditions. The law of adaptation is better understood there than here. If you understood it here, the fire would not burn you, the water would not drown you. When the air was at a very low temperature, it would not freeze you. Question. Do you mean to say that if we understood their law, we could resist these changes with our physical bodies? Answer. Yes, I do mean that you shall understand me precisely thus. Question. Will that knowledge ever be possessed by men on earth? Answer. I think not. At all events, it is so far in the future, if it ever comes, that it would be folly to hope for it. By Theodore Parker, January 7, 1868. Question. How are the blood letters placed upon the arm of the medium? And how are communications written in a room without anyone being present? Answer. The phenomenon of writing upon the arm and other parts of the human body by processes which of course are unseen by and unknown to you, is in itself exceedingly simple. The communicating spirits have but to draw an almost imperceptible point of electricity towards the part that they desire to affect in that way, and at the same time to use this point of electricity as one would use a pencil. The little child can perform the operation as well as an adult can. It is one of the simple things belonging to nature. You ask how communications can be written when there is no one present. Well, that could not be. There is someone present, although that someone is invisible to mortal eyes. Spirits have hands, and can use them, and the atmosphere contains all that is necessary to the formation of all things which you have here in use on the earth, and thousands and tens of thousands that you have not here, that you know nothing about. Therefore, you have what is equivalent to a pencil, or pen and ink. This was at page 270. Everything. From the mineral kingdom up to the highest spiritual, can be formed out of the atmosphere you breathe. It is the great repository of the life of this planet. It contains your gold, your silver, your precious stones. It contains all the elements of every form that is brought before your notice, every form that takes an objective life. The power is in the atmosphere with which to create it. You should remember this. And instead of talking about the atmosphere being a void, talk of it as being a great repository of life, all kinds of life. Question. Will those formations made by spirits out of the atmosphere retain their form permanently? Answer. Oh, no, not at all. That must come by and through a process natural to the planet, not by art. All these spirit forms, from the form of the flower to the form of the human body, are works of art, and therefore perishable. Question. Why is darkness necessary? Answer. Because darkness is more negative than light. Light is positive, therefore overcomes, eats up the conditions requisite to these manifestations. Why don't you see the lightning as well in the glare of the sunlight as you do after the sun has gone down? Question. Will the time ever arrive when these things will be done in the light? Answer. Yes, When the spirit world, or those spirits who are engaged in making these manifestations, are more acquainted with the laws that are in activity in the positive force, when they become better acquainted with them, and can master them, these manifestations can be performed in the light, but at present they cannot. Question. On a certain occasion at a spiritual circle, an oyster supper was furnished to the guests by the spirits. I would like to ask whether the oysters were made by the power of the spirits. Answer. I was not present on that occasion, and therefore could not say. I presume they had the power to furnish the oysters from your mundane sphere precisely as they have the power to furnish you flowers. They bring their mediums flowers, and various things. If they can do that, they can bring them oysters as well. Question. Then the eighth commandment has no power in the spirit world? Answer. The eighth commandment has no power in the spirit world. It is a non-entity. Every spirit there has the right to whatever it has need of. You may be very sure you will never be taken up for stealing in the spirit world. Question. The flowers, then, are not formed from the atmosphere, but are taken from some neighbor's garden, and belong to the owner of the garden? Answer. They have the power to form them out of the atmosphere. But such flowers soon fade away, that is to say, they are absorbed again by the atmosphere, perhaps while you are looking at them, but those that are a natural outgrowth of the earth of course render obedience to the law of the earth. You pluck them from the parent stalk, and they live a certain time, and then droop and fade away. Yes, they do take them from the gardens of their neighbors. Question. How are spirit shapes made apparent to our natural senses? Answer. As I before said, the necessary power is taken from the atmosphere, and carried to the medium, and condensed or rendered objectively, and of course when it is once objective, it is apparent to your physical senses. You can use it, you can handle it. It is, to all intents 272 and purposes, an objective form. It is a chemical process. There are many chemists in the spirit world. Question. Then the form is not their own? Answer. No, not absolutely. In one sense it is, and in another it is not. It is not their spirit form, for that you could not see, but it is a clothe-in for that form, that they have gathered from the atmosphere. By John Pierpont, January 12, 1869. Question. We frequently hear persons express a desire to rest for a long period of time upon entering the spirit world. Does this result from absolute weariness of their earth life? Answer. All the experiences of your earth life cast their shadow upon the spirit. It matters not what they are, whether they are those of joy or of sorrow, of weariness or the opposite, and a certain amount of time is required for the spirit to outlive it, pass beyond the shadows that are attached to it in consequence of its earth life. There is a mantle of remorse, an uncomfortable atmosphere surrounding the drunkard, surrounding the miser, surrounding all those persons that have not made the very best use of their time here. There is also an uncomfortable atmosphere surrounding those that have been encumbered with unhealthy physical bodies. The atmosphere is oppressive. It rests upon the spirit like a heavy weight, and as the spirit during such an experience in earth life has been in conflict, in hard conflict, with those rude experiences, rest, quiet, a condition wherein it can recuperate its wasted forces, is absolutely necessary in spirit life. I know it was so with me, and I am sure it is equally true of all others. Question. Is that rest of long duration? This was at page 273. Answer. The period of the time consumed in that way depends upon the necessity. If there is need for a long rest, you may be sure that the need will be supplied, the long rest will come. Question. Does this intense desire for rest induce this state of absolute repose? Answer. Yes, for none will desire this rest unless they have need of it. The desire is child of the need. Question. Are they conscious of any lapse of time during that rest? Answer. Yes. Question. Are we, then, to understand that there is time there? Answer. Not the time that is understood here with you, but a lapse of conditions, experiences, periods. Of course we do not reckon time by the revolution of the planets, as you do, or by the passing of day and night. It is not divided into years, months, weeks, days, hours, minutes, and seconds. Question. Still it is capable of measurement? Answer. Oh, yes. Question. Do not spirits understand our time here? Can they not reckon it as well as we do? Answer. Certainly they do. It is called the Earth Time. By Theodore Parker, January 14, 1869. Question. Can spirits injure each other by striking and wounding? Answer. Oh, yes, but not with physical force, for the physical body it parts with at death. But there is a force far more potent than that which belongs exclusively to this earth. Question. Are spirits subject to bodily accidents? Answer. Yes, they are, but not in the same degree that they are when here inhabiting these physical forms. There are no physical accidents, no physical pain, but whatever tends to render the spirit unhappy mars its spirit body, and produces a stain upon its external garments. Question. Some spirits, it is said, after the lapse of years in spirit life, still insist that they are in earth life. What can be the cause? Answer. They insist that they are, simply because they are here. Your friend having passed through death, he does not of necessity pass out of the earth's atmosphere, or away even from the earthly dwelling, the congenial ties that bound him to friends here. It is unwise to determine that your spirit friends are absent from you because your external senses cannot take cognizance of them. Question. Is it true that the superior races of humanity have developed from the gorilla tribe? Answer. It is true, an absolute fact, well attested in nature. We are very apt to turn a cold shoulder on our inferior relatives as we rise in the scale of human life. It is not at all unnatural thus to assume a superiority which does not belong to us. Question. Will individuals of the gorilla tribe, now on the earth, develop in the spirit world? Answer. They will develop through natural and spiritual processes. Spirit and matter are inseparable. Spirit always rises through matter, or develops, as you understand it, through matter, and at the same time develops matter. Spirit is always dependent upon matter for expression, and the kind of expression depends upon the kind of organic matter through which the spirit expresses. This was at page 275. The gorilla, as such, cannot be the finely developed Anglo-Saxon, yet the same spirit runs through both. Question. How far down through animal life does this relationship of ours extend? Answer. Farther than you or I could by any possibility reach. We are not only allied, related, and intimately, too, to the animal creation, but we are to the vegetable and the mineral. And the best and most absolute proof of this we find in the blood circulating in the veins and arteries of the human system. There we find represented all the animal, vegetable, and mineral kingdoms, each positive and distinct. That the human species have come up through all these lower strata of life there is no denying, for it is absolute. Question. You mean to say there are no discrete degrees, no well-marked lines of distinction? Answer. Contrary to the Swedenborgian idea, there is to me no discrete degree between the human life and the life of the rose, save that which we see in the external. We are just as much related to the rose as to each other. As I before remarked, the blood circulating in our veins and arteries determines that, shows us the what will make the rose. How came we to have it if we were not related to the rose? If there were these discrete degrees in physical life, how is it that we are microcosms of all that is beneath us, standing as the crowning point of the animal, vegetable, and mineral kingdoms? This is a question that science will answer for us, And most emphatically, too. By Theodore Parker, April 29, 1869. Controlling Spirit.